Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
They're going to kill the love of my life.
Casey!
If I don't go back to what I was doing.
This Friday.
Our line of work is quite brutal and quite ruthless.
How far would you go for love?
You steal a truck, bring it to me, then you make your money.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous!
Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, with Ben Kingsley and Anthony Hopkins.
All this trouble, all this pain, for love.
Collide, in theaters Friday. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Welcome to the RotoWire DFS podcast for Wednesday, October 5th, a wide receiver Wednesday, as my co-host likes to call it. And let me welcome him in. I'm, of course, James Seltzer, and with me, as always, my friend from the Great White North. You can follow him on Twitter at Statsman22, Paul Bruno. What up, brother?
James, I'm on a high today. Watched the ball game last night. Big dramatic finish for Toronto Blue Jays fans. Not so much for the Baltimore Orioles. And I can't wait for the next round. Are we going to see a boxing match in that series or what? Between Odor and somebody on the Jays? Maybe Bautista's going to defend his own honor. A nice backdrop to that series coming up. But we're here to talk football, and I'm ready to roll. My Cowboys are 3-1. Your Eagles are on fire. So we're all in a... We're both in pretty good mood, I guess.
Yes, yes. But you in a better mood with that Toronto win. Congratulations. Doesn't get more fun than a playoff walk-off. And yes, that Rangers series should be interesting, to say the least. All right, Paul, let's jump in. Big week here, week four. We're finally starting to get a real week five, starting to get a real sample size on these wide receivers and some real stuff that we can judge them by and on the defenses they're going up against. So let's dive in and try and help some people. There's only one receiver over the $9,000 plateau in Antonio Brown at 9,600. Let's just lump him in with those other top receivers from 8,000 above. Obviously, a big difference between 9,600 and 8,000. We'll keep that in mind. But in this group, kind of who sticks out to you, Paul?
Well, I'm going to discount Brown right away. I mean, look at what he did last week. He only effectively was involved in the offense for half the game because they were so far ahead. They eased up on the throttle. And I think they're going to be in a similar circumstance this week. That's a lot of money to throw out on one player, too. There's other options in this grouping that I like. I'll even look at the Cowboys' opponent, A.J. Green with Cincinnati. If they can find a way to keep this guy away from Maurice Claiborne, one of the best shutdown defensive backs in football, he's going to have another big day because there's not a lot in the rest of the defensive backfield that gives me confidence in this matchup. And Andy Dalton is going to have to want to find a way to get into the end zone and more than he did last week, and Green is the guy to do it. So I look for that $8,700 price tag to be quite attractive to a lot of people. And then I'll say another option in this range is Jordy Nelson with the Packers against the Giants. He's heating up, James, with 6 catches and 101 yards plus 2 TDs last week. And we may only be seeing the tip of the iceberg here, as he and Aaron Rodgers are one of the best pass-catching duos in the NFL, and he might just be hitting his stride. So those are the top two guys. A third option here, if they can find a decent quarterbacking performance in Chicago, Alshon Jeffrey could shake loose against a weak Indy defense. I don't think it's a safe bet just because of the quarterbacking situation in Chicago. I wonder how you feel about those three picks and other choices in this range.
Yeah, A.J. Green at 8,700 is potentially my favorite of the group. I agree with you there. It's a He is a great value at that price, even, you know, going up against, I think, even a Dallas fan like you would admit, not the best defense nor pass defense out there. So there's some real opportunity for him in that game coming off the long week. Obviously, the 10-catch, 173-yard performance is the kind of thing that is eye-popping, but also the kind of thing that Green really can do every week potentially. So I like that a lot. But right below him, I also like OBJ a lot this week. I feel like with all the talk about, you know, oh, he's struggling and he doesn't like to play football anymore and all this stuff, this feels like the kind of thing where they're going to come out and they're going to try and feed him, especially against a Green Bay pass defense that has really struggled so far. And considering that Green Bay is pretty much impossible to run against, I think they look to get him going this week, and I think they're going to need to throw because I think they'll be from behind. So look, OBJ, you're not going to get him at 8,500 if he's playing like himself. So I think there's some real potential upside with that value. As for the Antonio Brown thing, I agree. 9,600 is just so much, but the Jets have been terrible as far as the pass defense goes. So I think he's probably worth the price. I don't think I would play him in tournaments, but in cash games, I think that you could probably build a solid enough lineup around him that he's worth it pretty much any week. But I understand and agree. I think there are better values on the board this week. And one more name, Alshon. I'm a little nervous. He hasn't really gotten it going with Hoyer. If I actually like Brian Hoyer, you know, for what he is, but his real issue is getting the ball downfield, you know, those deep passes, and we haven't seen a lot of that. I like Eddie Royal a lot more, who we'll get to a little later. But I don't hate the idea of in a tournament making a contrarian play with Julio Jones. Obviously, he's not going to put up 300 yards against the Denver defense, but I also think 8,900 for the upside that guy presents, even against the best pass defense in the league, might be worth a shot in a lineup or two. All right, Paul, let's slide on down to the 7,900 to 7,000 range. A lot of good names in here, and then we'll obviously get into some real values for people. But what kind of stands out in this second-tier group of receivers?
For me, there's a few names here. I like T.Y. Hilton of the Colts. $7,700 against a Chicago defense. Hilton, for his part, has been targeted at least 10 times in each game so far. TDs in the last two games. This guy's hot, and he can on one play get you 13 to 15 points because he can go the length of the field on a bomb. I like that in a guy who gets a lot of touches as part of his mix. I also like Jarvis Landry for much the same reason. He is Miami's top receiver and should be busy this week, averaging 93 yards per week against a Tennessee defense that I'm not too excited about. So I think this is a good value play. But further down the board, there's two guys that I like even more in this range. One on your club, the Eagles, Carson Wentz go-to receiver is Jordan Matthews at $7,000. He should score big in a matchup against the Detroit Lions. And similarly with Julian Edelman of the Pats against Cleveland, there's a guy named Brady that's making his comeback this week, and Edelman should get more targets, and the yards will happen here. They have a great relationship, a working relationship, and I think Brady hits the ground running, and I think he runs up a big score, and Edelman is one of the big beneficiaries here.
Yeah, look, I love those last two calls. Those are two of my favorite guys on the board here. Matthews, I think Carson and the Eagles throw all over Detroit. Detroit has been just atrocious against the pass so far. Obviously gave up 300 yards to the aforementioned Brian Hoyer last week. But they just haven't looked very good. I like that play. Edelman I like even more, though. Obviously, Edelman has not looked so good so far this season, but getting Brady back is going to completely change his fortunes, I believe. So at 7,000, that's a heck of a value. Also, I was going to mention Jarvis Landry as well. Totally agree there. He is such a gigantic part of that offense. So, you know, he's their guy. So, and Tennessee is not necessarily an intimidating defense, though it's been slightly better than expected. So, I like all those plays. TY play is nice. I do even like a couple of the plays at the top of the value range here. Mike Evans at 7,900, just, you know, with the amount of targets that dude's getting, leads the league with 48 targets through three weeks. That's more than Antonio Brown, which is crazy to think about. Going up against a Carolina defense that just gave up 300 yards to Julio Jones and 500 yards passing to Matt Ryan, I feel really good about Mike Evans at that price this week. And I don't hate Marvin Jones. I honestly think this Eagles D is really good, and they will for the most part, shut down the Detroit offense. But if there is a weak, you know, the biggest weakness I would say on that Eagles defense is definitely the cornerback play. So I could certainly see Marvin Jones busting open for a play or two. All right, Paul, let's get into some legitimate value seeking type of range here. Not in the ultimate value range yet, but this 6,900 to 6,000 range has been really productive so far this season if you've made the right choices. So what are the right choices this week, Paul?
Well, I'm going to look at Sterling Shepard as the option in New York that I like best. I'm not as high on Odell Beckham Jr. as you are. I think this guy's a head case, and I'm going to stay away from him and instead put my faith in a guy who has had a fine start to his rookie season. He was 5-for-7 in terms of catches and targets last week with 73 yards on a TD, and he gets a good matchup against that Green Bay defense that you touched on earlier. I also like Michael Crabtree at $6,900. He's coming off a 3-TD game. He has 37 targets in 4 games. I'm surprised he's this low in the rankings, quite frankly. And this is a 27th ranked pass defense that he's facing this week. So I like that as a good value play. A little further down the list, there's a trio of guys, beginning with Steve Smith, that this veteran has slowly become the go-to guy for the Ravens in their pass offense, even though he's 37 years old. He's hauled in 8 passes in each of the last 2 weeks on a total of 22 yards. Again, 22 targets, I should say, 11 in each of the last 2 weeks as well. And, well, he's a pro's pro, so I got time for him, and I think this is a good matchup this week. I've talked in the past about Quincy Inunua with the dinged up veteran wide receivers on the Jets lineup. This guy has made his way to 60-plus average yards per game and has become increasingly relevant in the Jets offense, and he's going to need to be good because they want to keep the Pittsburgh offense off the field. So you're going to want to bet that they're going to target a guy who's becoming a more reliable receiver. And then I'll give a shout out to a former CFL star, Dontrell Inman with the San Diego Chargers. He's worth $6,100 this week. He was targeted 11 times for 5 catches, 120 yards, and a TD last week. Faces a Chicago defense that could pose a bit of a challenge, but I like the fact that he's getting a lot of action, and he should see just as much this week.
Yeah, I agree with Crabtree. I think him at 6,900 is one of the best plays available today on this wide receiver board, especially considering that it's likely Jason Verrett is going to spend most of his time covering Amari Cooper. So you have to like that matchup for Crabtree. And obviously, Crabtree, a big-time red zone target for Derek Carr so far this season. So love, love, love that play. A little bit further down, I like Tyrell Williams if I'm going to go with the San Diego receiver. He's been he hasn't gotten the splash plays since that opening week touchdown, but has been the most targeted receiver on the team. And I think that ultimately when it comes down to it, he's the one that Rivers trusts the most on a consistent basis. At least that's the way it seems. It seems like Benjamin and Inman could go back and forth kind of with who's playing the hitting the deep shots and kind of stretching the field type role. But I think Benjamin's going to be that more consistent, or excuse me, Williams is going to be that more consistent guy. So I like him at 6,500. But on the whole, outside of the names we mentioned, oh, and I agree with you on Steve Smith. I think he is back to being the clear number one guy there in Baltimore, and a nice matchup with Washington. I don't think Josh Norman's going to shadow him because he never does shadow a receiver, at least mostly doesn't. So he sticks to his side. So I think they'll be able to get Smith open. But I will say, before we move on to the real values, I do think that the way the value chart breaks out down this week, I think there are some, if you can afford to make it work at other positions, there are better values in that $7,000 to $8,000 range than in this $6,900 range, at least in terms of value, in my opinion. All right, Paul, before we jump into the values of values, let me remind everyone, the fantasy football fans out there, that football is back, which means that FanDuel is back, and this year it's better than ever. It's not just a new season at FanDuel, it's a new era. They've upgraded your entire experience with real improvements for everyday fans, and they believe that you deserve to experience everything sports has to offer which makes you sports rich. Try the new FanDuel now. Just pick your team, stay under the salary cap, and have all the fun that FanDuel has to offer. New to the game? Play in a beginner's contest to learn the ropes. If you have a dollar, there are games for just a dollar. There's 50-50 contests with a top half win cash. Or you can even settle a score with a friend in FanDuel's brand new Friends mode. It's season-long fantasy football with weekly teams. Plus, new features ensure a fair and level playing field. I've said it many times. Season-long is just... it kills me. Everyone gets hurt. It's not the same team you draft. This week, this in FanDuel, you can do it each week and pick your new team based on the matchups and be the smartest guy each and every week and not just have to, you know, do the best of projecting who's not going to get hurt over a 16-game season. It's just the smarter way to play now. So, you know, you can have all the fun that football has to offer, all the fun that fantasy has to offer at FanDuel. You could be sports rich. Special offer for new users. You can get a free 6-month subscription at RotoWire with a $10 deposit on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. And not only will you get the free subscription, but you'll actually have that $10 available to play with on FanDuel. So it's basically like $10 of fun that you're also getting the RotoWire subscription for. It's over $40 in value for just $10. So go to FanDuel.com/RW. All right, Paul, let's really make some people some money this week. Let's go with the let's break it up like we did last week, since there are so few under the $5,000 threshold. Let's go with this top half of it and take these names from 5,500 up, starting with Terrence Williams there and going up to that 5,900 range. Well, 5,800 in this case is Tavon Austin, Jameson Crowder top out that list.
Yeah, I like Crowder a lot. He's become increasingly relevant in that Washington offense. He's averaged 10.1 points per week, so that's a $5,800 play. But right below him, there's Eddie Royal. You teased him before. I really like this matchup against Indianapolis. He's averaged 12.8 points per week, and I think he's going to fatten that up against a very bad Indianapolis defense. And I got to give a Cowboy a shout-out today.
Shocker.
Like usual. Cole Beasley has been – talk about increasingly relevant. This guy is getting a lot of targets, and he's actually starting to get bigger chunks than he's used to. He's usually one of these 5 to 7 yard guys, but he's had a couple of 15 to 20-yard gainers, and I think he shakes loose against Cincinnati again. He's averaging 10 points per week, and there's rumblings that Dez is going to play, but I don't think so. I think that's just him and his PR guy saying, yeah. But Beasley's going to be a guy that's central to this offense and any success they have. And I think he's a red zone threat too. So I think he's a lock for more than 10 points in this matchup. So those are the three names that I like in this half.
No Victor Cruz is the first week you haven't given me Victor Cruz, Paul.
Exactly.
I actually don't hate Cruz. I don't love him, but again, I think the Giants are going to have to pay, going to have to throw the ball to compete with Green Bay. So I don't hate Cruz at 5,600. Eddie Royal is easily my favorite play here. I mentioned it before as well. Like you said, he's just been a big part of the offense, especially since Brian Hoyer's taken over. And obviously he's, you know, taking punts back for touchdowns. He's just been obviously that doesn't help you here, but he's been a very valuable player to own so far this season. And for 5,700, for the amount of targets he's going to get against a awful Indianapolis secondary, I think that is a terrific play. I like the Crowder play as well, and Cole Beasley at 5,500 for the target share, I don't think is that bad a play. But you know what I'll do is I usually give you the chance to go first, but since it ties in so well here, I'm going to take my first shot at this lower range here, and then I'll come back with you at some more. But I actually, assuming Dez doesn't play, which I agree, and I don't think he should play, I like Bryce Butler better at 5,100. He's $400 cheaper than Beasley, and obviously I think Beasley's a more consistent option. But we saw last week with Dez out that Butler led the team in targets, had the touchdown, and actually looked pretty good as far as it goes. So I think if Dez is out, if Dez is playing, I'm going with Beasley of the two. But if Dez is out, Paula, and tell me what you think here, I might take that shot on Bryce Butler.
Not a bad option, but I'm going to shy away from him. I think Beasley and the tight end, you know who he is, Witten, are going to get most of the targets there. Butler, to me, is still a bit of an unproven guy, and I think they have more faith in the other two, and they're going to need them because I think Andy Dalton's a big threat, and they want to keep him off the field. They'll be looking to sustain drives and go with the people that they know better and they're comfortable with.
All right, Paul. We might have to have a little side bet on the Bryce Butler action. If Denny
hey, I hope
look.
You're right. I hope you're right.
A couple other guys, and then I'll go to you for you. There are two more guys who stand out to me in the, and I don't really have any great of the, you know, under 5,000 plays. I think Brian Quick at 4,500 is probably worth a shot in some tournaments because of obviously the touchdowns so far, but I don't expect that to continue. I've seen Brian Cook have a couple good weeks and then just fail, you know, fall off the block before. So, but as far as St. Louis receivers go, or at least facing St. Louis, that game, I do like on the other side of that Robert Woods at 5,300.
Yeah.
With Sammy Watkins out for the year and IR, Woods has been the main target share leader there. And I don't think he's going to, you know, he hasn't scored a touchdown, which has limited his value, but he's going to get opportunities. They're going to have to throw against the Rams, I believe, who will focus on shutting down that running game as much as they can and are good defense. So I think just from a volume standpoint, Woods is a nice play. And the other name that jumped out to me here just from an upside type of play is Adam Humphries for Tampa Bay. It looks like he's past Vincent Jackson in terms of, you know, importance to that offense, along with Cameron Brait and Mike Evans, I think are really the three targets that are going to be developed moving forward. So, again, I mentioned how bad that Carolina pass defense has looked. So, I like the Adam Humphries play there as well for 5,100. Paul, are there any other names in this long shot territory that jump out to you?
Well, first, I want to echo your sentiments on Woods. I think he's averaged 6.5 points per week. He's gonna dwarf that going forward as a clear number one in Buffalo. And I like the matchup against Los Angeles. Another name that screams out in this range is Danny Amendola. This guy is the other half of the pass-catching guys who's got to be thrilled with Brady coming back. And at $5,300 against Cleveland, he's another stunning bargain on the board today. Maybe the best one for me on the whole. And so I'm going to be all over that one. In terms of below the $5,000 plateau, I'll give you a couple of names, and I'd love to hear your opinion on these guys. I'm going to pick Darrell Green Beckham at $4,900 for Philly. He is getting more reps each week, and the bye week more means more learning for him. I think he's going to have a chance to have a big game against Detroit. And then Cordarrelle Patterson, something of a forgotten guy. He did catch five balls on six targets for a season high 34 snaps last week versus the Giants, and he gets Houston this week. I think that's another guy that might shock people with that low price tag.
I love the Danny Amendola call. Great call. Chris Hogan even worth an upside play in that general area. Beckham, really interesting point about the bye week because you're dead on with that. His biggest issue so far, obviously he needs to show that he could play at the NFL level, but in terms of getting on the field, has been a lack of knowledge of the playbook. So I really like that upside call. I don't think I'd have the guts to put him in a cash game lineup, as it were. But as far as it goes, if you're looking for an upside play who's got a touchdown upside, as it were, I think Beckham, if they, you know, they're going to target him in the red zone. He's their biggest option. They showed the fade pattern in the preseason to him that worked a couple times. So I think that's certainly potential. Again, I don't know if I'd have the guts, but I like the upside call there. So I think they got a good list there. One name, other name that I meant to mention at 5,300 in this general range is Sammy Coates. I don't love him, but again, talking about how bad that Jets defense has been, Coates, this stat is crazy, and I apologize to where I read it. I believe it was somewhere on ESPN, but he's had four straight games with a 40-yard catch or more. That's kind of crazy, and that shows me that they're going to keep targeting him down the field, so one of these days he's going to catch one and run in the end zone. So at that price, I think that's a decent play. All right, Paul and I will be back as always tomorrow with a little tight end Thursday. We'll talk defenses too. Paul, anything on your mind on the way out other than just gloating about your Blue Jays?
Well, I'm going to try and be nice to McKechnie on Friday because he's a big Baltimore fan, and we've been going hammer and tong on the Jays and Orioles this week. So I'm going to treat him with kid gloves and see how I can get him through that show, because I think he's going to be sulking. You want to tune in for that. It's going to be fun at the beginning, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, give it to him, Paul. Don't let him off the hook, all right? If the Orioles had won, he would not have let you off the hook. You know that's true, Paul. All right, so that's going to do it, Paul, and I'll be back tomorrow. And then Friday, of course, can't miss Paul just going to town on the Johnny McKecks, the Oriole fans. That'll be fun. Again, this has been the RotoWire DFS podcast for Wednesday, October 5th. Paul and I will be back tomorrow to talk some tight ends and defenses. Again, for Paul Bruno, I am James Seltzer. This has been the wide receiver preview for week 5 of the NFL season on the RotoWire DFS podcast.